We might actually get it this time. We had somebody come in and help, so we're going to see. You can tell your parents that maybe Wednesday we'll have a podcast up. We've been talking about it for 4 weeks, but I think we got the bugs worked out today. But if we had the camera come to your house and follow you around, would that be you? Would you be doing that? No?
Helping mom.
Helping mom, yeah. Well, hopefully after this last couple weeks, maybe it will. Maybe after today and some of the things we talk about, it will be a change at your house. We've been discussing Others First all month long, haven't we? And it was funny when we were at Rake Up Boise yesterday, Ethan, I asked him, what's the checkpoint this month, you know? And he's like, yeah, we're talking about Others First. And I was like, isn't that crazy how it just happened to be in November? It happened to be during Thanksgiving. It happened to be during Rake Up Boise. Isn't that crazy that we picked Others First, just happened to fall during this time? But we actually picked that, believe it or not. And we've been talking about how Paul in Ephesians tells us the world we live in is kind of fueled by what Paul calls vain conceit. Remember in Philippians, we've been really stuck in this passage in Philippians 2, that do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that's where we've been working the last few weeks. Well, we're going to continue on. And our world is like that. And Paul calls it our vain conceit. And that we need to treat our parents. We need to treat our friends. We need to treat our teachers as if they are actually better than us. And they're a league higher than we are. And I know that's kind of hard to wrap your arms around. And what does that look like? What's it look like to treat somebody better or as if they have more value? So I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to visualize something. Everybody just close your eyes. I want you to visualize someone you admire, somebody you've never met that you admire, maybe an actor, maybe a musician, maybe a sports hero. And how would you treat that person if they came to your house for dinner? Just imagine you're at Thanksgiving dinner and this person that you look up to, a singer or an actor that you just love to meet, was at your house for Thanksgiving dinner. Would you talk to them? You know? Would you just sit there quietly or would you ask them questions? If that person asked you something, how would you respond to them? You know? If they asked you to do something, what would you do? You can open your eyes now. What kind of manners would you have if that person asked you to do something? You'd treat that person differently, wouldn't you? I think I would. Well, that is how you should treat everyone around you. What you just envisioned, that person, whoever it is, you know, for Thorne, it's probably Britney Spears, but however he would treat her at the dinner table for Thanksgiving, he's not even here to hear that, darn it. However you would treat that person at your dinner table, at Thanksgiving, is how you need to treat your parents all the time. It's how you need to treat your friends. It's how you need to treat people around you. You know, if they asked you to get, hey, would you? Oh, sure, yeah, man, I'll do that. That's what you need to do. That's treating others. That's putting them at a higher value than you are. And that's how we should do it. Last week, we talked about not being consumed with our own interests. And instead, we need to take a genuine interest in other people. And remember what we talked about? How do we do that? How do we put a genuine interest in other people? First, we listen. We listen to what they say. We don't always talk about us. We listen. The second thing we do is we remember what they told us. The third thing we do is the next time we see them, we ask about it so that they know we care. And the fourth thing we do is that we pray for them. When somebody tells you something in your small group or somebody tells you something about something that's happening in their life, instead of your prayers being consumed about me and God give me, God help me, you're thinking about them and you're praying for them. That's another way that you can put others first. But today we're going to talk about following Christ's example of humility. And you know, I know that when we've challenged you to put others first, I've had objections, and I know you probably have too. It's like, you know, if you don't know how my mom treats me, Dennis, man. You don't know what's going on in my house. My dad doesn't have time for me now. Why should I put him first? You know, none of my friends express interest in me or my life. Why should I care about what's happening in theirs? And you're like, you know, Dennis, you don't know my parents. You don't know what's going on at my house. You don't know my family. You don't know my friends. And you don't know how they treat me. How can I put them first? You know, it's easy for you. You're a pastor. So it's easy for you. You don't know what's going on in my life or my situation. And you don't understand my environment. But you know what? Paul knew that we'd ask those questions. Paul knew we would ask those questions. And in Philippians, he tells us how to handle it. He knew we'd ask that. And sometimes we're sitting there going, Dennis, how far should I take this? You know, when is enough enough when people treat me poorly? How long? When is it time for me to stand up for my own rights? You know, when should I just draw the line and say, that's it? How far do we go with this, putting others first? And how long do we do it? Well, Paul gives us some answers. He points us to a perfect example of supreme selflessness, and that's Jesus Christ. And when it comes to our behavior towards others, and we need to take cues from Christ himself, and he gives us a great example. And we have to have the same perspective and attitude. And let me read what we're going to be in today. It says in Philippians 2, 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And then he tells us how. It says in 2, 6, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So what's that saying? In 2, 6, it's saying that Jesus never pulled rank. And you're like, okay, what's that mean? Well, the best example I can give you is like, I'm a captain in the Boise Fire Department. So I wear a different uniform than the other guys because I'm an officer and I have little bars on my collar. And pulling rank is like when it's time to clean the toilets at the firehouse. I got a couple bars right here that say I don't have to clean the toilets. That's pulling rank. When it's time to clean the kitchen, I got a couple bars on my collar that says the new hoseman is going to clean the kitchen. That's pulling rank. So that's the best example that I could give you, or you know, that God didn't do that. God was the creator of the universe, and he never pulled rank. I mean, he didn't say, since I'm the Son of God, you're going to treat me like I am Son of God. He never said, you know, well, I can be excused from this because I am the creator. He never did that. He didn't say, I deserve better here on earth because I'm God. He never lorded that over us. And he never did anything as God to take away from the relationship he had with men. This is another example. Just picture, back in Jesus' time, there was a lot of walking. You walked everywhere, obviously. You know, you didn't jump in your sports car and run up to Judea. You know, you had to walk. So, you know, can you imagine a guy that can walk on water, right? He can probably make pretty good time on sand if he wanted to. So, but he didn't do that. He didn't say to, you know, we got a 2-day walk. Hey, I'll meet you there. You know, I'm there, right? What would that have done? He didn't use his position as God for gain. And you know why he didn't? He needed the relationships with people. Walking with them and being with them. That's what it is. You know, putting others first is all about relationships. He never pushed the God button when he was here on earth just to make it easier. He was constantly serving people. He was constantly washing feet. He was constantly healing the sick. And he was comforting the brokenhearted. So the next line in here that Paul gives us a glimpse is 2:7. It says, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He made himself nothing. He laid aside his rights as deity, as God, the God that we should be glorifying, that we should be praising, the God who deserved to be waited on hand and foot. He took the form of man, and knowing that the moment he came here, he would be treated that way. But for relationship's sake, he just kind of shelved that, and he thought about the relationships. He didn't use that. And then in 2:8, it gives us another glimpse. It says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus submitted to man when he came here. You know, we talked about ultimate authority. Jesus did that when he came here too. He submitted himself to others. And just think about it. The creator of everything and the creator, he submitted to what he created. That's just amazing. You know, how far did he take this submission? Well, Paul, he puts it bluntly. He says, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And what he's saying there is, and I don't think we understand it, even death on a cross. That is probably the most painful, most humiliating death there is known to mankind. And that's what he did. He submitted to that. At Calvary, Jesus put your and my interests way above himself and way above his own. He put his desire for a relationship with us was way more important to him than getting what he deserved, because what he deserved was our praise and our worship. And he put that aside. You know, I'm just wondering, will this month's checkpoint about others first just be another one of those messages that you take your notes and you just file away, you know? And it's like, all right, that was cool, Dennis. What's the next one? When's rush hour? You know? What checkpoint are we going to talk about next month? Is that what this is going to be? Because, you know, I don't know about you, but with Thanksgiving coming, with the holidays coming, I just feel like I got to camp out on this one for like a year. I don't know about you, but this others first thing has really got to me, and how I treat people and how I look at people. And I think that's such a good example of somebody that you admire sitting at your kitchen table. What would you do to them, and how would you treat them, and what would you do for them? You need to do that all the time with everyone around you, in your family. You know, is that what we're going to do? Are we just going to shelve this one? Is this a passage that we've been talking about that maybe you need to memorize? You know, we've been talking about it a lot. I think it is. I think this is one that just we need to take the time. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than ourselves. Is this one of those messages and those passages that you need to just type up and put on your mirror of your car or in the mirror where you get ready in the morning? Put others ahead of yourself. I think it is. You know, Jesus considered us better than himself. It's a mindset and it's a decision that you have to make, that you have to work on, that others are better than yourself. And if Christ can put me ahead of himself, I can certainly do it for you. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to do it every time, you know. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try to make this part of my life right now. What would happen in our families? Can you imagine for just a minute? Try to imagine what would happen in your families. What would happen at school? What would happen with your friends if you did that? If you just put others first, if we just took this awesome challenge that we've been learning about each month, consider others better than ourselves because Christ considered you better than himself. You know, it cost him his life. What would it cost us? A little effort, you know, a little time, a little humility. But in the long run, it's going to strengthen all the relationships that we have in our life. And I'm just wondering, are you guys ready for the challenge to do that this month? To continue and not just shelve the notes and be ready for the next rush hour or the next thing, the next checkpoint. I want you to take the challenge to just put others first. We did it yesterday with Rake Up Boise. We got Thanksgiving coming up this week. Maybe, I don't know, we have a food and clothes pantry. Maybe in your small group you guys could have a little challenge to start a coat drive for them. Maybe a canned food drive. Maybe just raising some money. Not only in treating people the way that putting them first, but maybe we need to help some people during this season and not just, it's all about me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me that's really affected a lot. Maybe it's affecting me because it's something that I need to work on. you know, putting others first. I just want to tell you guys a couple things that the last few weeks, it's been really cool. We call it sharing wins around here when we talk about cool things that are happening. Your parents have been coming to me a lot, telling me about some cool things that have been happening at home, about some things that you guys are actually learning, and it just makes me cry. When I see you guys with your Bible and you're telling me about your God time and the time you're spending with Him, and when your parents come to me and said, hey man, they put that checkpoint that you taught last month into practice. And I just want to tell you how proud I am of you for doing that. Makes me feel good, you know. Sometimes I think that I'm just banging my head on the wall, but when I hear those stories about what you guys are learning and putting in practice, it just makes me feel good. And I just wanted to say thank you. And I love you, and I love being your pastor, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Before we go into small groups, and small groups is a time where as we grow bigger, we're going to grow smaller at the same time and just build these relationships. We can put what we've learned the last 3 weeks into practice. We can start in our small group. When a friend in your small group tells you about something that they're going through, we can listen, right? We can remember, we can ask, and then we can pray for them. We can put it into practice. When we go into our small groups, it's a time where we can practice this with our friends and put others first. So let's use the rest of tonight to do that. I talked about how when relationships are like a door, you can open a door and you can walk through first, or you can choose to let somebody else to go first, and then there's lots of room for relationships. And let's just do that. Let's just think about that for the next few weeks. Let's pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, this is just so difficult that you know, it almost tempts me to just pass over this one and just move on to the next checkpoint, because this one's hard. God, as our Savior, as a man, when you came to earth, you understand. Give us the grace, give us the vision, God. Father, would you renew our minds so that we can adopt this attitude before I leave this place, that I would consider every single person that I lock eyes with more important than myself, whose needs are more important than mine, God, whose time is more important than mine, whose fears are more important than mine, whose hurts are more important than mine. And Father, we have an example that just erases all of our excuses for not doing it. If our Savior is willing to take the lead and to put us ahead of Himself, then the least we can do, God, is to begin treating others the same way. Father, transform us, transform our families, our friends, our relationships. Transform them as we consider this powerful, powerful principle of putting others first, and help us to do it in our lives, God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, if